her back was against the wall, and it looked like it was over. You made a way, and we stand in here only because. Believe that this morning. Let me hear believers sing it now.
You made a way.
You made a way.
You
Lord,
made a way.
Makes a way where there's no way. Ha ha. Ha ha. The one that can make a bridge in the Red Sea. Ha ha. Ha ha. The God with whom nothing is impossible. Blessed be thy name. Le bregedebos. Mahateke le bradadea. Masute klem baru shata. Mege devos, ikanda yala devos. Malega dandere. We give you all the praise, O God. Because we are standing here only because of you, O God. When the enemy came to swallow us up, you, O God, you became a shield and a buckler unto us. Father, take all the glory. When men hated us and counted us as nothing, you, O God, became our God. We give you all the praise. Blessed be thy name, O God. We worship you, O God. We worship you, O God. Take your place in our midst. Take your place in our midst. Take your place in our midst. Move like never before. Le bragada ya. Spirit of God, move like never before. We have not come to a mountain, but we have come to behold your glory and your majesty, O God. Let the train of your robe fill this house, O God. Mahitare bradade. Let that train of your robe, O God, fill this house, O God. Likate yalabos. Create an atmosphere, O God, of the miracle, O God. Let your miracle flow in this house. Let your spirit move in this house. Let your presence shine in this house. Move, O God. Move, O God. Move, O God. We have come to encounter you. We have come to encounter you. We are on Mount Zion. We are here, O God, because because you made a way. We are here, oh God, because you made a way for us. Have your way, Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God, in this house. Thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Roman word for the month April is called Aprilis. The Roman word for April, the month of April, is called Aprilis. And you know what it means? It means open. It means open. So I stand here this morning. I declare to someone here, that door is opening for you. We're going to pray very quickly because of time. Very quickly. Very quickly. Very quickly. When you look at the book of Genesis in chapter number 32. Genesis 30 verse 32. And it said, and okay, that's not it. And God remembered Rachel and hearkened unto her and opened her womb. See, the root word of that remember means God paid attention. We are in the fourth month, and you are saying, God, how long shall it be? You are going to pray very quickly. I am standing here. Pay attention to me, O God, and settle my matter. In the name of Jesus. Libradia. Lesute Libragush. Malegre de Dedea. Yes. Let today be a day of remembrance. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. We are still praying very quickly. When you look at the same book of Genesis in chapter 21, in verse number 19, the Bible talked about two people, Hagar and Ishmael. Sarah just drove them out of the house. And they got to a place where everything stood still. Nothing was working. There was no hope because everything was over. Hear me. Now, Hagar in her mind thought they were about to die. So she took the son, Ishmael, pushed him away from her, and she stood asunder that she was watching the child die. Then she would die. But then, guess what happened in verse 19? And the Bible says, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Do you know? The well was there, but she never saw it until God did something. Open. You are going to pray. There is something God has deposited for you. It is right there in front of you, but you never saw it. In this month, pray. Lord, open my eyes. Every blessing, every opportunity, every provision that you have for me to sustain me, to move me forward, open my eyes to see and to possess what belongs to me. In the name of Jesus. Until God opened her eyes, she never saw what was right in front of her. There is something God has deposited for you. There is a blessing for you. There is a miracle for you. Today, let your eyes be open. Be open to see what belongs to you. To see what belongs to you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. You know, in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, I believe verse number 2. Yes. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. That was the story of Moses. But you know what happened after the 3rd month? Moses stepped out and entered into his destiny. It was in the 4th month that she met the daughter of Pharaoh, because that was his destiny. This is your 4th month. It is your month of destiny. You are going to pray. Everything that has hidden my glory in the past, this day, open for me in the name of Jesus. Yes, my destiny be open. My glory be open. Let the door be open for my destiny helper in this month of April. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. Let that door open. Let that door open. My destiny. Walk into that door. My destiny helper. Walk into that door. Because it is open. By the word of the Lord. It is open. It is open. It is open. Thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally. Finally. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 6, verse 11 and 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 6, 11 and 12. So let me paraphrase. There was a wicked man in the land. He was an idol worshiper. His name was Obed-Edom. Everybody found a way to kill him. They couldn't kill him. But when they saw that the ark of God killed the Philistines, and said, now we have something. So they took the ark of God, they put it in his house. Guess what? For 3 months that the ark was there, this man prospered. He prospered. And they told David, and in the 4th month, they came to take back what belongs to them. What has the enemy taken from you? What has you surrendered of your own free will to the enemy? Because this is your month of open. You are going to pray for recovery. Everything begin to recover all. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray. Everything. Restore back to me. Everything be restored back to me. My healing, my breakthrough, my promotion, my laughter, my increase, my joy, my celebration, my blessing, my miracle, my peace, my laughter, my celebration, my glory. All that was taken, all that belongs to me, I recover. I recover. I recover. If David went with the house of Israel to the house of Obed-Edom and they took back the ark, oh God, I take back your covenant. I take back my blessing. I take back my glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah God, the only true and wise God. We give you all the praise, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. You may be seated. God bless you. How was that little exercise? Wonderful. I bring you greetings from our pastors. They are well. And they are here with us in the spirit. I know they are watching us online. And we salute you, daddy and mommy. May God's grace continue to abide with you. and keep you and carry you. In the name of Jesus. To those of you here in this assembly, I celebrate you. Because you are here, God is with you. And for those who are watching online, God will amaze you. This day, you will encounter God. In Jesus' name we pray. Very quickly, I want to share with you a scripture that we all know. But I want to add a little context to that scripture. And this morning, I want us to talk about the efficacy of the blood. The efficacy of the blood. And that message is taken from the scripture in Revelation chapter number 12. We all know this passage. We all can close our eyes and quote it, trust me. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11. Can we just read it together? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. God bless you. Praise the Lord. That same scripture, if you take it from the Message Bible, it says, they defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and by the bold word of their witness. They were not in love of themselves, but rather they were willing to die for Christ. Glory to God. So in other words, it means we overcome the devil when we testify personally to what the word of God says that the blood of Jesus does for us. Does that make any sense? Are you sure? You sure? Are you sure? All right. So, if I take that passage, I want to look at it differently. I'm going to look at it backwards. It means, number one, to those who love not their own life, but are sold out to God, just like Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I live now. So for those who are sold out, committed to God, trusting God in all things, that God is the ultimate, that God is the almighty. If you are at that point, then when the enemy comes, you declare the word that you know. And the word that you know is what the blood of Jesus has done for you. The Bible says when you do that, then that word that you spoke will activate the blood of Jesus to move on your behalf and do the things that you expect the blood to do. And when the blood does that, then you become an overcomer. You see the sequence. So, you know why the devil mess with us? You know why the devil mess with us? The devil knows the blood. The devil knows the power of the blood. Trust me, the devil knows. The devil knows the word. But what the devil knows that you don't know is this. The devil knows that if you don't know what you know, then he can take advantage of you. That's why the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, that I perceive that these people, they have a zeal for God, but they have no knowledge. You can come to church all day long, but if you don't know the power in the word, if you don't know the power of the blood, they mean nothing to you. You can plead the blood all day long. It doesn't mean the blood will do something. There is something that must activate the blood for the blood to work for you. If not, anybody can just plead the blood. And then the blood becomes ordinary. The blood is not ordinary. The blood is not ordinary. It is the blood of God. It is not ordinary. Glory to God. So the devil knows that the moment we take our place, we become overcomers. So guess what? We quote the scripture. Yes, I overcome by the blood. Okay, what does that mean? By my testimony. Where is your testimony? And then we pray. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Over what? What are you pleading? What are you expecting the blood to do? So you know what I had to do? I had to go look at the word efficacy. What does it really mean? Before I can talk about efficacy, I need to know what it means, right? So that I won't say the wrong thing. And efficacy says, it is the power to produce an expected result. So when you plead the blood, number one, you have an expectation. This is what the blood must do. Because if you don't have an expectation, then you just pleaded the blood in vain. You must have an expectation. Because the goal is the blood must produce what you expect. Because the blood has the power to do it. When Jesus died on the cross, Hades rejoiced that, we got him. He said he was God. Look at, we got you. And Jesus said, okay. But when he went into Hades, hell, the Bible said, the day he went in there, the Bible said, graves open. No, let's bring it down to regular English. That was a prison break when Jesus went into hell. All the saints that were captured, the Bible said, all of a sudden, what happened? Boom, they all came out. There was a prison break. That is what the power of God, the blood of Jesus, can do. But guess what? We take it as ordinary. You know why? I'm going to tell you the truth. Because we are very religious. We are very religious. And as long as we are religious, guess what? The devil is okay with that. Because then, we won't take our place. What you need to know about the blood, to God, that blood is very precious and valuable. So it's not something you can just mess around with. And because it's valuable to God, but to us, it has an efficacy for our own benefit. It works for us. The blood works for us. How do we know? We have been bought with a price. And that's the blood. Let me break it down in American English. The blood is the legal currency by which God purchased your victory. You know how you go and you spend dollars? That is the blood. That is what God paid in exchange for our victory. It is not only that. It is also the legal evidence that we have a right to everything that belongs to God. So the devil cannot mess with you. The only reason why he does that, guess what, is because you do not know your rights. You know, the GO made a statement many years ago. He said, when a man is born into slavery, he is not a slave until the day he says he's a slave. Many years ago, I wrote it down, never forget. You become what you say you are. But as long as we do not know our right in God, the devil will continue to do whatever he wants to do, going to and fro around the world. Glory to God. So the blood has power. Has power to do the things of God. So as a legal evidence that you have, you must carry it about wherever you go. the way you carry your passport or your driver's license is as good as the blood of Jesus is right here in your pocket. Whenever something comes up, bam, you bring it out. Glory to God. Because when you have that with you, it gives you boldness and confidence. Were you not surprised that Goliath terrorized a whole nation for 40 days? 40 days. The tallest man in Israel was Saul, and he was the king. When I said the tallest man, he was just about 6 feet and 4 inches. The tallest man, he can't even make NBA. Goliath, about 9 feet 8. So you can imagine David. Now, David was not tall. He was only 5 feet 6 inches. So you can imagine David like this, looking at Goliath like this. And he said, Today, my God will deliver you into my hand. They gave him a sword. He looked. I better keep this sword. When God sent me here, he gave me the blood. I have the evidence of power. I don't need this. Just gather for me 5 stones. I don't even need big ones, just little ones. Give me. I have a catapult. When I fling it like this, this man will know that I carry power. And he did. He had 5 stones. I don't know why he carried 5. He only needed 1. I don't know. But he used 1. Maybe it was like if the other ones attack. Maybe the 4 stones was to finish the rest of these Philistines. We don't know. But 1 stone finished Goliath. Why? Because he knew the efficacy of the power of the God that he calls. Do you know what God can do? No, you don't. I know you don't. You know why? Let me tell you. Let me prove a story right now. If a vehicle driving on Parker Road now, if the engine was to make noise, you all would think it's a bullet. You all would run away. True or false? Let's say the truth, we're in the house of God. Uh-huh. So, but we are here to know the power that is behind power. Glory to God. The devil knows this. So he works overtime to make sure we don't know what belongs to us. Now, let me tell you about Christ and his blood. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15, the Bible says he is the firstborn of God. Colossians 1:15, that Jesus is the firstborn of God. The firstborn. So what does that mean for us? Because Christ is the firstborn, we have rights through his blood to everything about God and all that God has for his people. We were not saved, but Christ came. His blood saved us. So every time God sees you, God don't see you the way you are. God sees you through the blood. So it doesn't matter what you were yesterday. As long as God sees you through the blood, then God can have a conversation and relationship with you. Glory to God. So God sees us through the blood. Through the blood. And because we operate through the blood, everything that comes through the blood belongs to us as well. Everything that the blood can do, if we appropriate it, the blood will do for us. Everything that the blood can fight, if we invoke the blood, then the blood will fight the battle for us. If trouble comes and we know that the blood has power over trouble and you invoke the blood because you expect the blood to fight, then the blood must fight. And the blood of Jesus has never lost a battle. So the blood of the firstborn of God saved us, delivered us, rescued us, sanctified us, reconciled us back to God, cleansed our sins, blotted out every handwriting of ordinances that was against us. But you know what? More often than not, that's where we stop. Because the blood of Jesus does way more than that. Let me show you in a minute. Glory to God. So look at the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 24 to 27. I won't read it, I'll paraphrase, if that's okay. All right. So here there was a war between Israel and the land of Moabites. Look at it this way. Russia versus Ukraine. Now we can connect, right? All right. So, I know the battle is still going on. But let's just assume for a minute, that Russia has destroyed the whole of Ukraine. Let's just assume. It hasn't happened, right? Let's just assume they destroyed the whole of Ukraine. And then the king or the president said, he got about 700 Navy SEAL, the best of the best. Said, let's see if we can infiltrate this enemy and create an opportunity. The enemy finished them. And then the king looked. There was nothing left for him to do. He had no clue what to do, but the battle was lost. They were defeated. They were pressed down. They were oppressed. There was no hope of a victory. And you know what he did? He took his son, his firstborn son, the one that is the heir apparent to the throne, the one that was the destiny of the land, the glory of the land. He took the son. He went to the wall of the city. He laid him on the wall. He called upon his god, Chemosh. Said, I give this to you. He took a knife. He cut him in pieces. If he cut him in pieces, it would have been nice. Then he set fire on him and burnt him as an offering to his god. The god that was made by the hand of man. The god that does not speak. The god that does not hear. The god that cannot even feed himself. You now kill a man and then you burn him. Look at what he said. And there was great indignation against Israel. As soon as he caught the blood screamed. The blood screamed. There is power in the blood. The blood moved. The people that were defeated, all of a sudden, power came upon them. The people that had given up, that the battle was over, all of a sudden, they received boldness that we can do this. And look at what happened. And Israel ran away. The same Israel that had beaten them down, destroyed everything destroyable, all of a sudden they ran. Why? It was just the blood. It was just the blood. Just the blood of an ordinary man made people mighty. How much more? The power of Jesus. If the blood of an ordinary man can make a whole nation that was defeated rise up and receive victory, how much more? You think the enemy has pushed you down? You think the battle is over? No, it ain't over. Unless God said it's over, it ain't over. Because we have a God who has given us the blood. I call the blood the weapon of mass destruction. The blood of Jesus. When you invoke the blood, it empowers you to do the impossible. That's what the blood does for you. And until you know the capability of the blood, then you cannot invoke the blood. Glory to God. Am I speaking to someone? The blood has power and it gives power. Here's another one. Exodus chapter 12. I love this one. Exodus chapter 12. I will only read 29 to 31. Again, I'm going to try to paraphrase. And so, God sent Moses to the land of Egypt as a deliverer to deliver the people of Israel who had been in captivity for 430 years, long time. Now, this is what God said to Moses. He said, I send you as a God to Pharaoh. I send you as a God to Pharaoh. Guess what happened? 9 plagues came, oh. Pharaoh did not move, oh. Every time Moses will come, I'm a God. Let my people go. Pharaoh will look at him from head to toe. Okay, I don't see a crown on your head. I beg. Next. 9 plagues went through. 9. Nothing happened. Nothing moved Pharaoh until we came here. And God said to them, ha, there's something called the blood. And God said to them, the blood of the firstborn. Ha! He said, this is what you must do. When I smite the firstborn and blood flow, let's see what will happen. Next verse. Next verse. Are you with me? The technical. Next verse. All right. They are with us in Jesus' name. But in verse 31, the Bible said when Pharaoh woke up the next day and the firstborn of Egypt were all dead, Moses didn't look for him. Mm-mm. Moses was still in pajamas, still sleeping. It was Pharaoh that came to wake him up. Oh yeah? Before I close my eyes, all of you leave. But for 9 plagues, he refused. 9 plagues, he refused. Why? Because in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 24, you know what the Bible said? It said, Christ is our mediator. Christ is our mediator. And through the blood of the sprinkling, through his blood of sprinkling, we achieve our victory. So what the plagues could not do, when the blood spoke, Pharaoh had no choice. When the blood stepped in to speak, Pharaoh could not refuse the blood. I don't know if you are here in this assembly this morning and people are trying to oppress you. You have been your own advocate. You have spoken. Nothing seems to work. You are on your job. You have that supervisor who said, no, I will deal with you. You have an advocate. The blood of the Lamb. When the blood speaks, nobody can refuse the blood. When Pharaoh said no, and the blood of Jesus spoke, he said, yes, sir. When do you need it by? That is the power in the blood of Jesus. 9 plagues couldn't do it, but that's the blood. Here's one more thing. Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 to 25. One more thing about the blood. I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus has authority. Authority. You all know the story of Moses, not me, the Moses in the Bible. He was 40 years old when he killed a man. And he ran away. And he thought everything would just disappear. And he was in the land of the Midianites for another 40 years when God called him. Now, remember what I just said. that God sent Moses back to Egypt as a god. I just said it, right? All right. So God sent him to Egypt. So he carried his wife. He carried his children. Let's go. As they were going. According to the scripture, the angel of the Lord will lead him on the road. You are not going home. Because the blood of 40 years ago is still speaking. That blood said, I must kill you. And today you must die. The blood of 40 years speaking. Look at the scripture. And the Bible said, the wife of Moses said to him, oh, you are a man of blood. You have shed blood before. Only blood can override blood. No matter the blood that is speaking against you, there is a blood that supersedes every blood. The blood of Jesus. When the blood show up, every other blood must surrender. And when the angel sought to kill him, the Bible said, the wife of Moses took the firstborn, caught him up. It didn't kill him. Caught him up. And blood flowed out. The moment the blood flowed, the Bible said the angel stopped. But there is power in the blood. The blood has authority over principalities and powers, over every act of wickedness against your life. Now, I'm not saying you should go take your firstborn and cut your firstborn. No, Jesus already done that for you. All you have to do is own it. He's not telling you to beg for it. No, he's not telling you to pay for it. Just take it. Take it. As long as it's there and we don't take it, the devil is excited. You know why? I got them. That's why the Bible said, it is only those who know their God. Only. Not everybody. Mm-mm. You can come to church from now till Jesus come. If you don't know this God, you won't have the power to resist the devil. Glory to God. So what that means, when you know the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, it provokes a confidence and boldness in you that you can do all things and that nothing is impossible. So, how do we apply this blood? When you look at the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, when they left Egypt, God gave them a principle to apply the blood. He said they should kill the lamb. But in killing the lamb, they should not spill the blood on the ground. So when they kill the lamb, they must capture every single drop of the blood in a bowl. And once they do that, they will take a hyssop leaf, take it, and strike. He didn't say, he said, strike the lintel. When you go into a house, this is the lintel. Then the doorpost, this one, and this one. But for the threshold, don't do it. Why? Because you cannot trample on the blood. He said they should strike the lintel and the doorpost. When you do that, when I see the blood, evil must surely pass over. So, but that was in the Old Testament. Jesus became the lamb for us. And since we cannot kill him every day, he has died one time, and that's it. The price is paid for. What the scripture is now telling us from where we started, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. He said, in the olden days, they will use the hyssop and dip it in the blood. Today, you speak the word. The word is now your hyssop. When you speak, you invoke the blood. If the angel of death passed over at that time, and you speak the word, And the word invoke the blood. Evil must surely pass over you. Does that make any sense? And that is how you apply the word. That is how. The Moabites, they understood the principle of the blood. That's why the king did what he did. The wife of Moses, she knew the power of the blood. She sprinkled the blood. Jesus, knowing the power of his own blood, of his own volition, he came. He died on the cross for us. He spilled the blood. When they brought him to the house of Pontius Pilate, they beat him. Blood came out. When they took him to the house of the Roman emperor, they beat him. Blood came out. On the way to Golgotha, he carried the cross. They beat him. Blood came out. When they put him on the cross, they did not put a crown of thorns. See, people are wicked, though. People are wicked, though. I believe you all are not wicked. In Jesus' name. They took a crown of thorns. They put it on his head. And then they started pressing it down. And the Bible said concerning him, Christ, on the cross, he was so disfigured, he did not look like a human being. On top of all that, then the Roman now took a spear, now hit him again, say, you should have died by now. And blood and water came out. He spilled his own blood, knowing fully well that by the release of that blood, we'll receive power to become overcomers. And when you're an overcomer, guess what? Then you become a conqueror. Glory to God. That is the power in the blood. So, since I know that, Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, I quoted it earlier on. He said, blotting out all handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. That means you are discharged and acquitted. And if you were discharged and acquitted in the court of law, that means whatever they charge you with never happened. That's what it means. Once you are discharged and acquitted, whatever it was, it never happened. And if it never happened, then guess what? The Bible now said, cursed be everyone that is hung on a tree. So Jesus became my curse. So I'm no longer under a curse. So if I realize that, then the blood of Jesus, the blood that speaketh of better things than the blood of Abel. You know what the blood is speaking to the Father concerning me? That he is no longer under a curse. Therefore, he is blessed beyond measure. That is what the blood is speaking. Therefore, the earth must yield an increase unto him because of the blood. Therefore, there is a new covenant of divine health and healing. That is what the blood is speaking. When someone comes to challenge the Father concerning you, the blood is speaking. Father, don't forget. Don't forget. You see them through me. Father, don't forget. You see them through me. Don't listen to that one because you see them through me. Glory to God. That is the efficacy of the blood of the Lamb. And if the blood does it, and if the blood has the efficacy, and if the blood has the power, then He beholds this question. Why do we not apply the blood? Why do we not invoke the blood? Why do we not appropriate the blood, knowing the power of the blood? Why not? People of God, that is what I have come to share with you all this morning, that there is power in the blood. And until you use it, the devil will mess with you. It is not in the pleading of the blood. It is in the believing in the power of the blood that makes the difference. It is not in the speaking, but in the bold delivery of your testimony. What has the blood done for me? I can testify. The blood saved me. I can look the devil eyeball to eyeball and say the devil saved, the blood saved me. And when you tell the devil that the blood saved me, guess what? The devil steps back for a minute. Then when you testify again, he steps back some more. When you now speak, because of my testimony, here is my expectation. The devil has no choice. We know this for a fact. Because the Bible said to God, is it not because you have built a hedge of protection around about Job? That's why I couldn't get to him. The blood was speaking for Job. The devil could not. He tried, he could not. He tried, he could not. He said, Lord, it is because of this blood. That's why I can't. You have a power freely given to you by God. And the hosts of heaven, they are waiting just for you to use it. So they can rejoice with you. So they can celebrate with you. Glory to God. Shall we rise? Thank you, God. We know the name of Jesus. We know that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. But one thing we also know, that by the blood, we are overcomers. You are going to pray this morning. Lord, help me to believe in the blood, because the blood has power to fight for me, to rescue me, to give me victory. The blood that saved me, the blood that sanctified me, has power to deliver me. That blood has power over principalities and power. That blood has power. My unbelief. Father, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, oh God. Help my unbelief this morning. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, final prayer. What we just shared, we're going to put it to practice. He said we overcome by the blood. When we speak the blood, when we testify of what the blood does, then the enemy will surrender. Now, there must be something you need of God. There must be an expectation you have of God. Now, I want you to pray. And you're going to tell that issue or that trouble what the blood of Jesus has done for you. You're going to say what the blood has done for you. then you say, you now tell to that trouble, that issue, this is what must happen. Because you must have an expectation of the blood. Put God to the test. And see if there is no power in the blood.
The blood, oh, the blood of Jesus.
Keep praying, keep praying.
Behold the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of
Moab thought they lost the battle to Israel. But when the blood spoke, there was a turnaround. Speak to that issue. You carry a mandate. The blood of the Son of God, who died for you, who saved us, who delivered us, who rescued us, who ransomed us, he reconciled us back to the Father. So we have the authority to decree a thing and it shall be established. And here is my decree. Blessed be the name of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for the performance of the prayer. Thank you for the efficacy of the blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of the firstborn of all creation. We give you all the praise. Blessed be thy name. Thank you for the efficacy of the blood. For everyone putting a demand on the blood this morning. We know there is power. So we ask the blood to produce the desired effect. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise. Blessed be thy name. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. You may be seated. God bless you.